This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. What should be a sleepy season for Bay State politics is anything but. Apart from the U.S. Senate race, we have a state Senate race underway. Last month, Democrat Jack Hart left the state Senate to return to the private sector. As of today, State Rep. Linda Dorsina-Forey and Nick Collins are in the race, with a lot of other names getting tossed around. Here with me in Studio 3 to talk about her candidacy is Representative Dorsina-Forey. Welcome back. Thanks for dropping by.
Thank you, Callie. Thanks for having me over.
So the obvious question is why?
Why? Why am I running?
Now, what, you know, you've been a long-term rep.
Why, yes, I have.
Why move to the Senate? I think a lot of us think, okay.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Well, I would say, you know, for me, I've brought my life experience. I'm bringing my life experiences to the Senate. I've been a state rep, like you said, for 8 years. So I've ran four terms and have been really able to forge major alliances to bring resources to the neighborhood. So I have an opportunity here to bring it to a larger scale. And this first Suffolk district, which is the district, the Senate district, I look forward to representing the people in that district. It actually has a big chunk of my constituency from the 12th Suffolk district that's in that district now. So I have an opportunity to really go around, talk to the neighborhoods, listen to people. But I've been able to do a lot legislatively, so I hope to bring that to the Senate.
Well, let's be clear that there's 160 members in the House of Representatives, of which you are one currently,
yes,
and only 40 members of the Senate.
That's right.
So and you have more people, 159,000 people you'd be representing approximately.
Compared to 40,000, you're right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so and that gives you what? I mean, just from a governing standpoint, yeah, why is that attractive?
I mean, it's attractive because, you know, these opportunities don't come around often, right? Mm-hmm. And I would say that, you know, I've been here for a while. I've been in the public sector for over two decades before running for office, serving 8 years as elected. And for me, it's an opportunity to take the message to a broader scale. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from the beginning when I ran in 2005 in the special election, that was the seat that was vacated by Speaker Tom Finneran. We really got out there and talked about a partnership, a new partnership in the district. And that's what I hope to do here in the first Suffolk. But you're right, it is different. In the House, I'm thankful to Speaker DeLeo. He made me a chair of a committee. So for the past 4 years, I've chaired the Committee on Community Development and Small Business and really worked on strengthening the small businesses communities here that we know improves neighborhoods, right? It's the small businesses that are hiring our neighbors and our friends. So really want to be supportive of that and bring it to the Senate level as well.
So what will be the difference in your message that you mentioned your message, or what is your message and how will it differ, if at all?
Okay. I would say that, you know, this is a larger district, like you said, right? Mm-hmm. From 40,000 to 160. So for me, the message is the same that it was about in 2005. And it was about a new partnership. Because you know that this district includes a big chunk of Dorchester, South Boston, Mattapan, and Hyde Park. And for me, I look at it as one district. And there are people who may try to divide it. But for me, it's really getting out there, meeting the people, meeting the voters where they are, and listening to the issues and try to bring their issues forward. But I have to say, Senator Hart has been a great partner. I mean, he's done a great job as senator. We worked well together, worked collaboratively in bringing resources that were direly needed in the neighborhoods of this district. So that's what I look forward to doing, is really getting out, hitting the streets. It's 80 days, Callie,
yes,
to get this done.
It's a very short period of time.
It is short, yes.
It's a tough campaign because it's so short. Mm-hmm. Do you have any examples of the partnering that you and Senator Jack Hart, and I should mention that he stepped down to go to a law firm, and many had thought he would be there a while and would eventually take over Therese Murray's post, but that's not going to happen now.
No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I know. So
yeah,
he's decided to do what's best for himself and his family, mm-hmm, and totally respect that, right? Mm-hmm. So he is going to be with a law firm, but I am sure we'll be working closely if I'm successful, and that's why I'm out in the streets calling the phone, asking people for their support. But for me, really, we've worked on various issues, whether it was transportation issues in the district, making sure that there's access to people in our folks in the communities to get where they need to go for jobs. We talk about jobs and creating opportunity. But if there's no transit system, if there's no buses and no access, how are people going to get there? So if we've worked together on getting resources for a particular dangerous intersection in our district, I would say in the Morton Gallivan area, to really try to redevelop that. And so we were successful in getting over $2 million to get that done. But really working on transportation issues, housing issues, education's a big deal for me. As a state rep, you know, I really fought hard in making sure that our library stayed open in Dorchester and South Boston and Brighton. Those are big, big, big issues, you know, and that's something I look forward to bringing forth in the Senate.
Because it's such a short period of time, as you've said, because the primary election, and now there will be a primary because at least one other person, Nick Collins, has
that's
announced
right.
that he's
yeah.
going to run for the same seat. Mm-hmm. In April. April 30th. It's
April 30th.
Very long. So do you feel that you have a name recognition across this much bigger expanse in the first district than you know, already? Because obviously the person with name recognition has an edge.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, before running for office, I worked in the public sector for about 15 years or so, you know, in total. Total 2 decades, so really 10 years. So I worked in the city government, but also worked in the state. I do have name recognition, but I cannot rest on my laurels. That's why I'm going to be hitting the streets, knocking on doors, asking people for their votes. And really, it's an opportunity to get out there, right, and meet everyone. And Nick is a good guy. Nick Collins and I, we're in the same suite. We're in the same office at the State House. Mm. But we're friends. And so we know that we're not running against each other. We're running for the seat because it is an open seat. And so that's what I look forward to doing.
Would you have expected that there'd be this much interest in this seat? I mean, it's kind of interesting because other names are being tossed around even as we speak.
That's right. Other names are being tossed around, Callie.
Yes.
And so we're just moving ahead and really trying to get this done. But, you know, it's going to be exciting. When I ran in 2005, it was a special election as well. It was 90 days. But the difference is that there's not snow, right? Mm. So I had snow up to my knees as I was going to every single door knocking on them. So I'm happy there's no snow outside and that we will be out there and hitting the streets.
So what do you say to a voter to explain to them why you're uniquely qualified to represent the first district, Linda Dorsina Forey?
Thank you, Callie. I would say I'm uniquely qualified. I am born and raised here. You know, I'm a native Bostonian. I'm born and raised in Dorchester, from Upham's Corner to Lower Mills, where I live now with my husband, Bill, and my children, where we're raising our children. But I bring a vast experience to the table. I think legislatively, I've been able to really work in terms of understanding the nuances and the intricacies of the legislative process. I've really worked in focusing on building partnerships and really bringing issues that, you know, people may bring to the table and think it's, you know, we want to do it that way. But I understand the importance of compromise. And I think if you talk to my colleagues and if you talk to people that have worked in the State House or have been outside, you know, nonprofits or CDCs, you know, I've really worked to try to support legislative efforts that are going to improve lives of families. From the CDC bill that I worked on to really allow community development corporations to be able to do planning and on a long-term basis, from the temp workers' right to know bill, which allows temporary workers, which are the most vulnerable, right, during this down economy, that have temporary jobs, to know exactly where they're going to work, how much they're going to get paid, what materials they're working with. So that's something I fought hard for. There's other legislative initiatives and successes that I've had, because there's bills that's been there for over 10 years and plus that I've been able to get done and got passed with the help of leadership, but really putting it through, bringing the people to the table, people who are for or against a bill, bringing people to the table and hashing it out. I think that is the best way. It's about compromise. It's really taking a comprehensive approach. And that's really been my whole policy in terms of moving forward with legislative and so forth.
We see so little compromise in Washington. Is there a time that you'd like to share with you compromised in your current position as state rep and felt good about it on the other side?
Yeah, I mean, you know, compromise is a good thing. I think that there's bills that I file, there's bills my colleagues file, and I say this to my constituents all the time in the 12th Suffolk District. I may love a bill, right, to its core, and I present the bill. It's not going to be the same bill that went in. It's not going to be the same one that comes out. But as long as you're willing to be part of the discussion, and as long as I'm willing to be part of discussion, if I'm the original, you know, crafter of the bill, that I want to be part of the discussion and make sure something gets done, then I need to be at the table. Now, there are some people who can't understand that, right, and grasp that. So for them, it's their bill, it's their baby, and you can't touch it at all. Well, that's not realistic. I mean, that's not how our process works. And so, you know, that's what I've been able to do, really working with my colleagues and realizing that, you know what, I don't know everything and I don't proclaim to know everything. Mm-hmm. It's about willing to learn, willing to listen, and really to just bring people to the table to get, you know, the right idea or the right bill to come forth and to be signed into law.
Is there something that sticks out in your mind where it was a little tough to say this is not just my baby alone, as you say?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's tough, right? I mean, I've had several pieces that I've worked on. Okay, so there's a couple. So one of them was SBLI, but that was, you know, that was the SBLI, you know, the savings bank.
Okay, thank you.
But that one is interesting because SBLI is a Massachusetts-based company. It was chartered here, and SBLI was offering two different rates for women and men in terms of life insurance, okay? But they had to offer, excuse me, a neutral policy where men and women were charged the same. Mm. So my argument on the floor and what's good leadership, and I got everyone, a good number of people to be with me, though, you know, it took a couple tries, but we finally got it done, to say that here it is, we have SBLI, a Massachusetts-based company that was chartered here. We have other insurance companies that are coming to Mass that are offering different rates. So when you have one company like SBLI that was offering a single rate for men and women, knowing that women live longer. We love our brothers. We love you men. But, you know, we live longer than you, you know, so we should pay less. Mm. Other insurance companies were doing better and faring better. Women, instead of going to SBLI, were going to these out-of-state companies, you know, to do their life insurance. So we finally got that piece done where now it's an unequal playing field where, you know, SBLI can now offer two different rates. And this is a piece of legislation that was floating around for a while. Another piece I would say has to do with, again, the temp workers bill, the one I just talked about. That's a bill that was floating there for about 8 years or so. And it was just simple. For me, it's about a piece of paper. You know, you have people who do temp, and there are amazing temp agencies, okay? We have incredible temp agencies here. They're an amazing part of the economic engine of Massachusetts. But we have some, you know, some characters, right, that are not doing the right thing, that are employing people for the day or for the week, not paying them the right wages, putting them out to work in situations that may be harmful to them. We had folks showing up in emergency rooms injured, and they don't know what materials they were working with. So we were able to craft a policy called the Temp Workers' Right to Know, where it's a sheet of paper where all these agencies, good ones too, but really we're trying to get down to these, you know, these other agencies that are not doing the right thing, to provide a sheet to say, here's where you're going to go work. Here's the materials you're working with. If you need safety equipment or not, you need to bring it with you. So these are the things our workers had no idea about. And I think, again, when we have a down economy, when people are losing their jobs, people have to make ends meet, right? They have to keep a roof over their heads and pay their mortgage or their rent. They have to put food on the table. They have to get their kids to school. And so it's really trying to do key things that are having direct impact on people's lives. And that's something I'm really proud of because it's really working with. And that was interesting, right? Because it was like literally for 8 years and both sides never sat at the table. And it was bringing everyone into the room. They were kind of shocked. You know, the business folks were like, wow, we never sat down. I'm like, okay, well, we're going to sit down now. And here's the bill. You know, my advocates, you know, and they've done a great job, MASHCOSH, GBLS, you know, and the temp agencies themselves. I said, okay, here's the legislation I filed. You know it's cumbersome and it's a lot. So let's hash it out. What is acceptable and what is not? And let's come down to a compromise. And that's what we were able to do. So I'm really proud of that work.
Finally, Linda Dorsina Forey, now of the 12th district and rep in on the House side, moving over to the Senate side, hopefully.
Hopefully, that's right.
In your race. Why does governing mean something to you? Why is this important? Because those of us who look outside, we see the fighting and this, it doesn't look very pleasant. It doesn't look like it would be something that would be rewarding.
Yeah, I would say that it is rewarding. And I think what we have to do as elected officials is really tell the story and really have people understand that government is essential. I think that we play an incredible role in people's lives, whether it's the fire that has to be fought when your house is on fire, it's the policemen, it's the teachers, it's picking up trash. I mean, that is government. So when we talk about what jobs is government, you know, are we creating jobs? We are creating jobs because there are resources that we are supporting in terms of small businesses, in terms of home ownership, in terms of, you know, so many different aspects that, you know, government plays a role. And for me, you know, it's just an honor to be in this position. I am first generation American. My parents immigrated here from Haiti, did not speak a lick of English, but, you know, they instilled in me the importance of hard work and the importance of giving back. So they grew up, you know, I grew up in Upham's Corner. My parents are still in the two-family Victorian they own. But, you know, we would open up the house, and I'll never forget that. They opened up the home when all my aunts and uncles were gone out of the house. They would open up the first floor for newcomers, Haitians who were coming, not related, but because they needed some place to understand the new environment that they're in. And they did that for free. I mean, yeah, they could have asked for a little bit of rent, you know, but they didn't. Mm. And so, you know, so that's what I grew up with, you know, opening up your home. home, being able to care for those who are less fortunate. And, you know, I went to St. Kevin's School, MIRM, Monsignor Memorial High School. And for me, you know, I have that Catholic upbringing where you treat people the way you want to be treated. You speak to people the way you want to be spoken to. And you just, you know, you look out for each other. And I think that's what I have an opportunity to do in government. I love my job. I do. Okay. It's an amazing job.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rep.
Linda Dorsina Forey, who is looking to be state senator, Linda Dorsina Forey, in this new special election. We will continue to interview all of the candidates running for this race. And in the meantime, Representative Forey, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you so much, Callie.
Well, from real life politics, we're going to look at politics on the small screen with a look at the new Netflix TV series, House of Cards. I'm Callie Crossley. This is 89.7 WGBH, Boston Public Radio.